Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, Sports City. It's your favorite sport talk group in the world, not just the city, but the world. You know, we are back in the building. Welcome to the roundtable of Sports City, man. I mean, and I apologize for everything that's been going on in Sports City, especially with the crossover cafe didn't take place yesterday. But we're going to try and get into as much of this as much as possible. You got 60 minutes locked and loaded with the chef. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world. But I'm not going to get to that plug just yet, man. I'm feeling some type of way, man, because it's game seven, man. It's a game seven. A lot of heat going on. I'm hearing a lot of people telling me, Ty, you better talk about this today in the kitchen. Ty, you better talk about that in the kitchen. I'm like, why don't y'all just call in and just talk to me? That's all. Just talk to me, the fellas. We can get into any dish y'all like. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. Welcome back to the roundtable, Sports City. Let's go.
For their purchase, we surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather around, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Here's a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfucker.
Okay, the calling number is 917-889-9592. Like I said, you got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. And like I said, man, sports is a premium right now, especially, and this is the kicker part, Sports City, and I hate to ruin it for people. I know people may get mad at me right now, Sports City. We are 2 weeks away from the end of June. That's right. Yeah, I'm already rushing the summer through. Get out of here. I don't like the sun. I'm not big on the heat. I don't like sweating, especially me being a East Coast, East Side of Connecticut. You know, it's humid out here. We get all of that water off of the Atlantic Ocean, so it's humid out here. I don't want none of the summer, man. So hurry up, fall. September, I'm waiting for you. October, I'm waiting for you. November, December, I don't even have to say no more. I don't. But I'm already rushing the summer along. Summer ain't even here yet. We 4 days away from summer. I'm pushing everything along, man. We ain't even here in summer yet. Okay. I got my Coles, my brother with me. I got Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the round table. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm feeling good. You may not want to come down here then. Because you think it's hot and humidity up here, you don't want to even try to mess with the DMV humidity.
Listen, if the weatherman said, this is how bad the humidity will be right here. The sky will be gray, looking like it's about to rain, right? And the weatherman will be like it's 88 degrees. You'll go outside with the humidity, it'll be close to 100. It'll be close to it. So I don't like that stuff. I don't like being fooled like that. I don't like when your clothes feel like they're 1,000 pounds. No. I like crisp, that deep breath weather. You know, that hot chocolate, that hot side. I'm already pushing. I'm pushing for the fall. Chill out. I'm a fall baby. I'm sorry. Fall winter boy by nature. By nature, I love it cold. Okay. So, without any further ado, Sports City, I've already been getting beat up in the green room. Just for y'all, Sports City, just for y'all, right? So we just cruising on through, getting close to start the show, punch y'all in the head, you know, talk about what happened last night. Well, I'm sorry, Sports City. I have to talk about the elephant, the rhinoceros, let me say it correctly, the Tyrannosaurus Rex. The biggest thing in the room right now is the NBA Finals. In game six that took place yesterday. Now, I don't know where to start. There's a lot of different avenues we get to go down in selection of this the game and how we want to pattern the show and what to go forward to. But the first thing first situation, Cavaliers Warriors, the Cavs facing a 3-1 deficit, fight their way back into this series and tie this thing up. And this is a crazy thing, Sports City, because I like how this thing is going down. And you know, I'm still salty about how things went down in the Western Conference, but it actually set up for a good NBA final right here. And I thought that the Cavaliers were going to get taken care of once, you know, Golden State found their way. So then you get people to come in the kitchen. I ain't saying no names. I'm not saying no names. But now they want to hide out. Now they want to hide out because they feel in some type of way. And, oh, now all of a sudden the game is rigged. Now all of a sudden they come on my page talking junk to me, but won't come back to the kitchen because now it's tied up. Now it's tied up. This is anybody's game in Game 7, man. Which, is, I'm not going to lie, it favors the Warriors because the Warriors play great ball in the Oracle. They play great out there in the Bay. A lot of people get baffled by hearing that loud crowd out there. But people have won on this floor. Cavaliers won on this floor in this series. Oklahoma City has won on that floor as well. And that's been it, really. So this actually sets up for all of the drama. Now, here comes the crazy stat. And this ain't even a stat. This is numbers. There are tickets that are selling courtside for $50,000. I mean, it's $49,000, but hell, I mean, what? It wasn't $1,000. You're already paying $49,000. For two seats, the marbles are on the floor. This is everything. Like, wow, 3 hours of basketball play is getting this much presence, and you know people are going to pay for it. You know people are going to pay for it. This is why I love basketball. It's like a big toss-up. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's football or basketball. It's football or basketball. It's a big toss-up. It's like a jump ball, whichever one got my heart at that given time, I'm caught. But just knowing how much money these people are dumping into a courtside seat to see LeBron and Steph and Klay and Kyrie and these guys go at it, wow. Wow. I could just imagine how many people are going to view this worldwide on Sunday on Father's Day. That's another thing in itself, too. But let's first things first this. Tommy, your thoughts on how things have gone on in this series. And I'll start with the appetizer, the hors d'oeuvre of the situation. Do you think it is a big deal that Bogut is not there in the paint, that he's not available for these guys due to that injury, and the Cavaliers are taking advantage of the situation as well?
No. I don't, because he was there in the paint for Game 6 until he got hurt, and when he was there, they were still getting to the paint. So no.
Now they have to make do without him. Looking at what they've been able to present, they had Draymond back. Everybody's like, oh, it would have been a different game if Draymond played. And, oh, people are talking about he shouldn't have been suspended. But now you look at how they're trying to either play the small ball or get a big in the game and have Festus Ezeli available to get things done. But it's not the same team without Andrew Bogut. I mean, clearly, do you think that they could get this done with Festus Ezeli on the floor moving forward?
No, and I'm going to tell you, if Cleveland showed up like they have the last two games, this series could have been over. LeBron's playing like LeBron. And I'll say this, and I'll throw it out there. Win, lose, draw on Sunday, LeBron should be the MVP of the finals. He leads or is tied for one in rebounding the whole series.
In the last two games, he put up 41 points in both games, 82 points in a two-game span. We have not seen this, people. We have not seen this play happen. Also, there's been consistent play out of Kyrie. There's one name that I'm hoping that could show up in Golden State to make it a tough game. If JR could actually be somewhat decent in that matchup to make this game interesting. Because it can't be LeBron and Kyrie by themselves again if they want to win a championship. And Kevin Love, I mean, $110 million. in 12 minutes played. I'm going to try this again. $110+ million in 12 minutes played and 7 points. I don't get it, man. And I was the lone wolf in this kitchen fighting for him, man. But I don't even think I want you to do more. I actually want you to simmer down and do what the hell you're doing right now, because the Cavaliers are winning. Their first win was without you injured. Their second win, they won with you scoring 2 points. Their third win, they win with you scoring 7. They do not need you to do more than what you're doing right now. It's actually a recipe that's been helping them win. You come out there and do more, it's actually hurting them. It is hurting them. So I like the situation of the supporting cast, if you will, of this Cavalier team outside of Kevin Love. And I feel like I could pat myself on the back, call it Tristan Thompson. I didn't know that this was going to be the situation throughout the remainder of the series. And I don't know if LeBron really does listen, but I think he does. I truly think he does. Because I said, once they took Tristan Thompson out of the game, it was over. And when they tried to bring him back in, he was a lost cause. Do you know the last game? I mean, game 5, not game 6 that was played last night. Game 5, Tristan Thompson played 40 minutes and they won. Big, right? Guess how many minutes LeBron played last night? 43 minutes, people. LeBron James went for 43 minutes. JR played 40. Kyrie played 39, right under JR. Guess who played 43 minutes alongside LeBron James? Thompson. Who? I've been saying this all series long, people. Tristan is that X factor. 6 for 6 from the field, 16 rebounds. Hell, I mean, 3 assists, too. He even had 3 assists. I mean, I'm not looking for him to be an assist guy. I'm not. I'm going to be honest. He's not an assist guy. But everything, if he scores, it's a plus. He's a rebounder. That's what they're paying him for. And he's actually giving them more on the floor than Kevin Love. Tristan Thompson is actually doing work. Like. I think the Warriors got to figure out what to do with him while he's on the floor. Try and get him in foul trouble. Switch him up on some screens so he can deal with Clay and Steph to try and make him pick up a foul and get him on the bench, because he's actually been the nut, if you will, in this series right now. His physical presence has actually been difficult for this Warriors team. And I don't know if he could bring this with him for a third straight game out to Golden State up against this Warriors team, especially while everybody's back against the wall. Cleveland and Golden State, everybody's taking 10 paces and drawing. That's a different situation. Tommy, your thoughts on Tristan, how he's been able to be the X factor in this series right now?
There's a big difference between Love and Thompson. Do you know what it is, Ty?
What's the difference?
Thompson will get the rebound. He'll find LeBron. He'll find the guard. He'll run his ass down the floor. How many times in this series, even last year in the finals, you seen him get a rebound, he bust his ass down the floor, and they find him on the alley-oop. They find him on a bounce pass. Love don't do that. Ty, please jump on board. Love is gone from this team this year after the finals. Trust me.
Do you say that win or lose? If they win the finals, does Love still leave or does
gone.
He stay?
He is gone.
Even if they win the finals. Interesting. Well, we do have somebody
Tristan
in queue.
Thompson runs the floor.
Who's been saying Tristan Thompson since game one?
You.
Okay. Calling in from the Virginia region of the United States of America, we have Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
You know, man, I'm gonna pick up right where you guys left off. You know, it's
wait, answer the question. Answer the question.
Hold on a second. I'm good. All right, now that I got that nonsense out the way,
That's nonsense.
I'm gonna pick up right where you guys. I'm gonna pick up right where you guys left off because I was in the building. I believe it was Tuesday night, and I sat there and I said, I don't think Cleveland has it in them to get a win in Oracle, let alone push this to a game seven. It's a good thing I like egg because I'm eating a lot of it right now. A switch has been flipped, and LeBron and Kyrie, again, if those of y'all who are listening, those of y'all in the building that follow me on social media, I said this, I think it was yesterday or the day before that. I said, yo, LeBron James, I remember that he was the baddest SOB on the planet, playing just like it, you know. So shout out to them Bamas for getting it done. You know, I'm not too sure, you know, a lot can be said for Tyronn Lue for, you know, finding a formula. Or this, that, and the third, but...
Oh, wait. One at a time. We're not there yet. We're on Tristan.
The Cleveland Cavaliers are finding a way to get things done. And again, for Tristan Thompson, the man is doing his thing, but, you know, to play devil's advocate here, he really has no competition on the block. He really doesn't have any competition. I mean, Bogut is hurt. Draymond Green is frustrated trying to run around and figure out what LeBron is going to do. So I guess, and to get back to what you were talking about, Tristan is just being Tristan. I mean, it's very easy to grab boards when you're 2.5 inches above your competition. It's very easy to be energized and run the floor, like Tommy alluded to, when you're throwing shots. You know, you're getting into your guard's hand or LeBron's hand, and he's just throwing it up, and you're just, you know, yamming on cats. It's very if I was Tristan Thompson, I'd be ecstatic right now because I'm having fun. I mean, this dude is averaging a double-double by the end of the first quarter.
Okay, listen to this number. I hope you guys are ready because this actually burns me up because my boys got bumped and didn't stick to the damn script because I was taught in high school, of course, defense wins championships, right? But my high school coach taught me everybody to the glass. That's what I was taught. If you don't know or didn't know that was the code from Stanford High, everybody to the glass, even the guards, everybody, we had the group rebound. LeBron and Tristan together alone out rebounded the starting five of the Warriors. 24-21. 16 from Tristan, 8 from LeBron. LeBron's stat total, we'll get to that in a little bit. LeBron's stat line the past two games have been nothing but ridiculous. Insanity, aka throw up. Anyway, so now, you mean to tell me that two guys are out rebounding an entire team by themselves, basically. If you include everybody, you get them involved. The whole Warriors team had 11 more rebounds than just Tristan Thompson and LeBron James. The Cavaliers out rebounded them by 10, which rebounding has been actually a killer against the Warriors because they don't get to the boards. Now, I try to kind of paint this picture without Bogut because Bogut's actually been helping them on the glass. Another person that was a key contributor, the only one that really did work on the boards. Draymond Green. Draymond had 10. Everybody else, under 5. Everybody. All of them on the outside. Now, is the small ball killing them? Is it the fact that everybody's locked and loaded, ready to shoot, leaving a 6'6", 6'7" Draymond Green in the paint by himself with all those rules? Is that a fair assessment? And where did, I'll start with you first on this one, Sirius, since you are the resident Tar Heel fan. Where did Harrison Barnes go? Now, it's bad enough that I'm picking on Kevin Love. It's bad enough I'm picking on Kevin Love. But I don't want to pick on Kevin Love too much because I try to support him. I had everybody in the kitchen picking on me talking about Kevin Love. Harrison Barnes, 0-for-8, 0-for-5-for-3, no points, 2 rebounds, a block. That's it. Uh-huh. Now, I've been talking about Kevin Love, 7 points, and that, and he's getting paid $110. He's getting paid over $110 million. Harrison Barnes, a no-show, And you were not bred like this. You are a Tar Heel. Like, and I know we got our rivalry. I know I talk junk to Aaron just because of the rivalry between the Hoyas and the you know, I forget their name. The Tar Heels? Okay, that's what they call them, whatever they are. Anyway, so this dude is not balling at all. It's like, where did he go? What's going on? I don't know if he's in his own head, but he's been knocking down shots all season long. I don't even want to say the postseason. All season long, Harrison Barnes has been a potent weapon for the Warriors, and it's like he's gone to sleep or he's already on vacation. Your thoughts on your former star out there in Chapel Hill?
I'm going to put it to you like this with Harrison Barnes. I mean, he was streaky a lot of times at North Carolina. You know, we've seen glimpses and flashes of how good he can be offensively as well as defensively. But again, in my honest opinion, he's falling away from what makes him who he is. You know, Harrison Barnes is not a jump shooter. Never has been. He's not going to make his living coming down, pulling up 15-foot or 20-foot jumpers. He needs to be under the glass, getting the nasty boards, putting dunks in, catching lobs from Steph and Tristan and all these, Steph and Klay Thompson and all this other stuff. But he fell in love with the jumper. And that's the biggest issue. I mean, we'll probably get into this later on when we start talking about what, you know, is going right and wrong with each team or whatever the case may be. But Harrison Barnes individually is really strayed away from what made him who he is. He's not a jump shooter. But because you play on a team that likes to run and gun, because you play on a team with arguably the best jump shooter to ever put on a pair of sneakers, you know, give or take or whatever side of the fence you fall on, you feel as though you can come out there, you know, on a, you know, 3-on-1 fast break and pull from 30 feet. Where you do that at, sir? You know, now if it goes in, you know, you got lucky, you got blessed that it went in, but it ain't your game. You know, so, I mean, if I'm Harrison Barnes, tonight, tomorrow, pregame on Sunday, 10 feet in, I'm taking nothing but mid-range jumpers, and I'm working on left-hand layup, right-hand layup, left-hand dunk, right-hand dunk. You know, I'm working on posing for the camera. You know, when I'm doing it all. Forget all that. Just get away from the perimeter. That's not your game.
Tommy, if you want to speak on that school in North Carolina, you can. But your thoughts on Harrison Barnes and where he went now. Sirius has a different outlook on this because from what I see from Harrison Barnes, he's actually been that guy in the corner knocking down that shot, whether it's been him in one corner or Iguodala in the other corner. These guys have been knocking down shots all season long. It's now where these guys have not played that consistent ball or fell asleep, if you will. Your thoughts on where Harrison Barnes may have gone?
One, I don't know what that school is you're talking about down there in North Carolina. Unless you're talking about the one that gives free classes to their athletes so they can play on the floor. I mean, maybe that's the one you're talking about.
Right.
I mean, they don't even go to school. They don't even have to go to classes. I mean, they just don't get me started with that.
Right.
Well done.
This is what I've been preaching for the last, since the NBA started this year, or what the Cavs are doing. It is making Harris Barnes, Thompson at times, Curry at times, they are playing aggressive. They are playing physical, and it gets into their head. That other school down here in North Carolina, I can't think of their names either right now. But I know my Tar Heels has beat them the last 3 years we played them. They played physical with that other team down there that Harris Barnes played with, and he disappeared. You play physical with this. You pull on the jersey a little bit. Give him a little arm. I mean, just do something to take off a rhythm. He's not doing it. I've been saying it. Todd, you've heard me. And everybody's like, well, that ain't help if he's played it anymore. That's exactly what I've been saying to do. Personally, I want to stop talking about him because he may go off on Saturday, on Sunday, and I don't want my Father's Day to be ruined.
Wow. I really feel like they would be comfortable sleeping in their own beds and coming back to the arena and being in front of their home crowd, but I don't know how comfortable they would feel with the Cavs putting as many wins together where everybody doubted that they could get this done. Now the question looms, is this the old Golden State Warrior team? Is this the Warrior team that we remember from just a year ago, 2 years ago, that just couldn't close out, couldn't do things the right way, where, to be honest, everybody was talking about the path that they took last year. They've had trouble this year. They've lost games this year. They got rid of teams last year. This year, they had their work cut out for them. I mean, granted, you know, the first series that they played, I won't jump too far into that one. I'll just let that be. But the second one, Damian Lillard came out and played ball. The third one, they got, you know, Westbrook and Durant to put together a seven-game series. And for them to pull it out late in the seven-game series, now they're back in front of a seven-game series with some notable players outside of the immediate stars in LeBron and Kyrie to get it done. But I have another one written out with the Warriors cast and the Cavs cast being the supporting guys. And I'm going to be honest, Sports City. And I like, again, like I said, people may feel a certain way about the way I'm going to come at this. Shumpert, what are you doing? Like I don't know what Shumpert does on the floor. Like, they call him a defensive stopper, and he comes in the game, he has length. He may get a bucket here, he may get a dunk here, but he's a shooting guard and scared of his shot. And there's times that he'll lose Steph, he'll lose Clay. Your responsibility is to stay on two of the most dangerous shooters in the league, and you lose them. Like, and you lose them. You guys are fortunate that they cut it to seven and didn't get past seven. Fortunate. As soon as they took JR out and put Shumpert in, you watched that lead dwindle and dwindle and dwindle away. Shumpert, I know you are in there buying people time. When you're in film, watching film and seeing what's going on, please stick to the plan and make it work. You could end up costing you guys a championship if you don't come to play better than what you've done thus far. You're fortunate that you have a LeBron, you have a Kyrie doing the work that they've done right now. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Warriors and their supporting cast, outside of Harrison Barnes, the guy who we picked on, Draymond Green was out for a game due to the suspension. He comes back and only has an 8-point effort, but he led the team in rebounds. Like we just noted, too, Bogut being out as well, so you need a guy like Festus Ezeli to step up. But Festus Ezeli only gave them 4 points, you know what I mean? And Andre Iguodala, 5 points. Like these were guys that were heavy impact players when they won those first three games in the early portion of the series. Now everybody fell asleep, and it's kind of like that commercial that came out in 1997, 98. I'm dating myself, but it was a Michael Jordan commercial. I don't know if y'all remember it. And it was a fake game with the Bulls playing the Lakers, and Mike drove baseline on Eddie Jones, and everybody on the Bulls was watching. Everybody across the country was watching. They were letting water run and this, that, and the third. This is exactly what the Warriors are doing. They are watching the ball move and watching Steph and Klay Thompson play ball. Yeah, I know that the slogan is strength is in numbers. I know that they're trying to pass to keep everybody involved. Maurice Spates did not even play yesterday. He played 2 minutes. Like whoop-de-doo. 2 threes. He shot 2 threes and hit them, but Spates has been a pivotal piece of what's going on. Sean Livingston, 3 points in 21 minutes of play. Where is this team going? Barbosa has been probably the biggest piece as of yesterday, and a guy that's been consistent to knock down his shots as well. Where has this supporting cast gone? Tommy, I'll come to you. I mean, whichever name you like to throw out there, from Barbosa to Livingston to Ezeli to Spates, I mean, the supporting cast that's supposed to be there. I mean, we already picked on Barnes as much as possible, but you got Iguodala and Green. I mean, wherever you like to pick, we'll start with the Warriors first.
One, I'm not taking up for the Warriors because I hope Cavs win this whole thing. so I can get tired of hearing about how the Cavs ain't won nothing. But Iguodala should have never been on the floor last night after his back started to spasm up. He couldn't move laterally. He couldn't move. I mean, he just looked like – I mean, give him all the credit in the world for trying to fight through it, more than what some of those people, some of the players on the Cavs, we won't mention your name, love, would have done. He tried for what he could do. Iguodala should have never been on the floor, should have never came back. They should have took him to the back, ran the treatments, did whatever to get that back ready for game 7, because he may not be ready. Depends on how bad it was, what it is. So he could be another one that's down. The one I'm going to pick on is everybody made a big fit that he wasn't in game 6 or game 5. Green. What did he do last night? Really? I mean, he had some defensive stops here and there. Didn't look like he made that big of a difference at all. LeBron and them were still getting to the paint. Tristan Thompson was still getting rebounds. Tristan Thompson scored 15 points. So you tell me where he made a difference.
He played the most minutes out of anybody on the Warriors at that. He gave them 41 minutes of play, but didn't shoot much. So that's another thing, too. Is it a situation, just like I said, is he watching Steph and Clay get their shot off, just like everybody else on this team? Like, if you look at the attempts, not even the shots made, everybody shot underneath their usual, you know, expectancy of what they're going to get out there. Draymond had 7 shots taken. Iguodala had 5 shots taken. Barnes had, he went 0-for-8. He had 8 shots taken. You know, other than that, it's especially Azili with 5 and Barbosa with 6. And these are attempts. These aren't even the makes. Everybody more or less was comfortable watching Clay and Steph get shots up and trying to shoot their way back into this game. So I don't want to put too much of this on Draymond, but it's interesting how many people tried to throw this as, with Draymond being out, this is a fortunate situation for Cleveland to try and pull this out to get back to Cleveland and force a game 7. Sirius, your thoughts on the supporting cast, at least for Golden State as of this point?
You know, I will say this. You know, the supporting cast for the Golden State Warriors has somewhat been, you know, their calling card all year. You know, I mean, Steph and Clay have been Steph and Clay, but, you know, it's the Leandro Barbosa coming off the bench and giving you 15. It's the, you know, Livingston in game 1 being the hero and scoring 21 points off the bench and just, you know, operating through his mid-range and playing, you know, decent defense. I don't know who to actually point the finger at, you know, when you want to talk about supporting cast of, you know, the Golden State Warriors. They wear those shirts, you know, again, you alluded to it a little bit ago, where they talk about strength in numbers. There's no strength in those numbers right now. There really isn't.
Right.
And the thing is, Klay Thompson, you know, I'm not too sure what his issue has been as of late. But he hasn't really been playing Klay Thompson like basketball. He really hasn't. Like I saw a couple plays yesterday. I'm probably jumping ahead, but I saw a couple plays yesterday that had me scratching my head like, dog, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? So, but having said that, I'm not too sure where to point the finger at. You know, you can point it at Klay.
We'll go into that. Go into Klay, because then we'll start right there. We'll go right into Klay at that.
Well, I mean, like I was saying, you know, I'm not too sure what dude's problem is. You know, I mean, he has spurts where he gets out and he hits 2 or 3, you know, straight, and then he's a no-show. I honestly believe that in order, and I don't care if you're at home or on the way, your 2 best players have to be the best players on your team on the floor for them to win. You know, and that could be said for LeBron and Kyrie, and that has to be the same said for Steph and Clay. You know, Steph is going to do what Steph is going to do. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if this man went for 50 on Sunday. It wouldn't surprise me at all. But Klay Thompson can't give you 11. Klay Thompson can't give you, you know, even 15. That's mediocre. That's mediocre. You know, Klay really has to play smart basketball and, you know, take advantage of the matchup that he's given. I mean, no disrespect to J.R. Smith. No disrespect to that dude. I mean, he does play exceptional defense. But if you're, you know, playing next to arguably the unanimous MVP and Steph Curry, you have to find a way to win that matchup. Because then they're not matching you up with LeBron James. Kyrie Irving is not switching off from Steph and matching up with you. So you have a matchup that you need to take advantage of and win. And these pull-up air balls that you've been throwing the fans, you know, who pay $14 million to sit courtside, is not getting it done, bro. It was a 3-on-1 fast break. Okay, you could have went to the rack, got your layup. No, you faded it to the three-point line and threw up an air ball, missed the whole damn rim. Why they do that at? Why do they do that at? You know what I'm saying? You single-handedly, in my honest opinion, you single-handedly beat OKC. You really did. That game was won. And you went off and won that game for your team, and what happened, happened. If you can't do that, if you can't be a contributor to your team's cause, the Golden State Warriors are losing Sunday. Klay Thompson has to play Klay Thompson basketball. We already know we're getting out of Steph. We already know. If Klay Thompson defensively hasn't been strapping up, hasn't been offensively really engaged, he's like, you know, he will come up and pull up, but he's not hitting his shot.
Now, from what you see and from what I've seen was a little bit different because, let's be honest, Klay Thompson is the MVP of this series if Golden State wins. I'm sorry. He's the consistent one of this team right now, and his shooting percentage was better than Steph Curry's last night. Other than the three-point line, which Steph hit 6 for 13, Klay went 3 for 10. Field goal percentage-wise, Klay was the consistent one, especially on that pull-up at the free throw line or near the paint. JR couldn't do it. Shumpert couldn't do it. Kyrie couldn't do it. He was taking advantage of a lot of people trying to D him in that mid-range game. He is the consistent cog of this team, especially while Steph has been in foul trouble all series long. Hey, hell, by the way, you said 15, 10, and 11. Klay Thompson finished with 25. He finished with 25. I don't know. I don't know what else he needs to do. He's been doing this all while Curry has been out. All while Curry has been out, Klay has been the consistent cog for this Warrior team. I don't know. I mean, yeah, his 3-point percentage night was off. He was 30% shooting. But why you see Steph go to that sideline and chill? Klay's biggest cheerleader is Stephen Curry. He's it. That's it. He shot the ball the best out of everybody on the Warriors team, including Steph. Tommy, your thoughts on at least Klay and his efforts thus far in his matchup, or at least Game 6 and as well as the matchup?
Oh, boy. I can see both your points. I can see where Klay has played well. But Klay gets happy behind that 3-point line. Like the play that Simmons was brought up, he had a layup. They gave it to him. He stops it, dribbles back, and shoots a three in the corner. I saw that. I said, I blew up. The coach and me came in, and I literally looked for somebody to put in the game so I can ring him out.
Right.
Because that would have been me. I'd have found somebody. I don't care if it's the last guy on the bench. I'd have told him to get his ass in there. And then I'd have looked at Klay and be like, what part of that layup did you not see that you could have made? I lost it. I think he at times gets happy behind the line. That they built this up so much, this Blast Brothers thing, and three this, three that. So that's all they have confidence in shooting. I mean, like I said, Game 5, he was the only one that showed up. I literally remember Ty, I texted you, I said, now watch him bring him all the way back, and he's going to be the MVP. I mean, Clay's done well. But, I mean, if you got a layup, you got to take it. That's when that's when I knew, you know what, this team feels desperate. When he stopped that, went back and tried to shoot that three, that looked desperate to me.
In that respect right there, Tommy, and Sirius just brought it up a little while ago too, I can't speak for him on that note. I can't. And I know that him and Steph love their jump shot. They shoot. They are the purest shooters in the league, best shooters that we've seen in a long time. There is no way in hell that you pull that out right there. And I think it was Kyrie back there with him because it wasn't like he just had an open lane. There's a man riding him, but still, yeah, he pulled it out to shoot that shot, and it was like, whoa. Like I don't get it, man. And I get to change this up a little bit too in respect to Clay and Steph, and I'm about to throw Steph and everybody over here too. But I hate to say it, and if you feel some type of way, come talk to me. We can shout this out all you want. I kind of blame Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr made these dudes the monsters that they are, shooting from anywhere. Steph, listen, there was one point I think they blew the whistle, but they didn't know that they blew the whistle. Steph shot from, like, inside the sea by half court. When he shot that shot, I said, because we were in the sport bar watching, so I couldn't hear if it was a whistle or blown. I just screamed, wow. I mean, real loud, so everybody could hear what the hell was going on. I see where Steph shot from, and he missed it, but I was like, these dudes don't even have a green light. Like I said, it's a dim blue. Like that light is to do what you want. Like I don't care. Steve Kerr's letting these dudes do what they want. Like they ain't even worried about the atmosphere of the team right now. They aren't. And yeah, strength is in numbers. That's biblical. I love the slogan. But they moving past what's been working. Outside of the 30 and the 25, here go his point totals. 8, 5, 0, 0, 2, 1, 4, 6, 3, 3, 14. Like, they're not going to get it done like that. People coming in there scoring one or two buckets, that's not going to get it done. That's not going to get it done. Now, granted, like I said, Clay's been a consistent cog. I think Steph, when he gets his shot off, he gets them off in bunches. So it's like he'll get like four or five shots up a quarter, and three or two of them fall. That's helping his scoring total. But it ain't like you got the Steph that's been dominating people all season long getting those double screens, and that's where they're missing Bogut too. This made me think of that. Bogut and Green setting that screen at the top of the key on a guard, whether on the left or the right side of that point guard, has been leaving a big man on no man's land trying to beat Steph with slow feet, and he'll pull up for a big shot. Now they got to play small ball, and you're actually seeing Steph Curry get tired. In the last two series, he's been winded because there's been guards that have been testing him. And the crazy part about it is Steve Kerr can no longer hide him. If the Cavaliers do this right to keep a scorer out there at all times, don't bring Shumpert in there because you guys will not win a championship. You won't. If they keep a scorer out there to test him, he fouls out. He's been getting 4 or 5 fouls a game. He just put up 6. Even though, I'm saying this on air, even though LeBron is probably top 4, top 5 flopper in the league, because I've been hearing it left and right, Ty, that wasn't no foul, I understand. But if the refs are foolish enough to fall for it, then hey, I've seen it for years. I thought it was Vlade Divac at one point. Then I thought it was Reggie Miller at one point. I thought it was Kobe at one point. I thought it was Allen Iverson at one point. The best floppers in the world. LeBron took it to a whole new level. Especially with him being 6'8 and 270. It's like, how do you touch him? How do you D him? He's huge. He gets to sell it to the referees. He's on the line. He's getting people in foul trouble. Especially Steph, because Steph is, you know, hand happy. He's trying to get those steals. You know what I'm saying? So it actually plays to their advantage. Sears, I know I heard you try to say something before I kept going.
No, what I was saying in regards to that specific play that we were talking about, you know, you were talking about how Kyrie got back and was playing defense. It was a 3-on-1 fast break. Now, we've all sitting here been playing basketball long enough to know, I mean, it's a 3-on-1 fast break. That means there are two men that are open and one guards you. Why? Now, you do the math. You know, so, I mean, in regards to that, you know, it's just, I don't know if you really want to point the finger at Steve Kerr, because here's the deal. We've all seen Steve Kerr, you know, do the, oh, no, oh, my God, I can't believe he made that. You know, look, I mean, we've seen it all year. You know, hell, we do it sitting at home watching it. You know, Steve Kerr, you know, at times turns into a fan of his team and not necessarily a coach. Because, I mean, these guys do make spectacular plays and this, that, and the third. So I'm not really going to, you know, point the finger at Steve Kerr or, you know, this, that, and the third. I mean, at the end of the day, and I said this on my Facebook a couple of days ago, this is a make or miss league. And these same shots that Golden State Warriors, you know, made all year, you know, whether it be Klay, Steph, Draymond, Livingston, hell, you even mentioned Harrison Barnes, they're not making them now. You know, so, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and right now, over the past, you know, two and a half games, you know, Golden State has been dying by their own sword, because on the flip side, Cleveland is hitting everything that moves. I mean, Kyrie is making Steph look silly. You know, LeBron James, you know, he found his pull-up that, you know, he found, you know, when he was playing with the Miami Heat and he won his first championship against that squad that, you know, Kevin Durant plays for. You know, so, I mean, that's when he found his jump shot. You know, we've seen it again, you know, materializing itself and showing itself, you know, during a lot of stages of this series here. You know, if LeBron is hitting that mid-range, he's unguardable. And right now LeBron is hitting that mid-range, so he's unguardable. Not to mention his ability to get to the cup, because, again, nobody in a Golden State uniform has the power, the common sense, or the want to check him. You know, Iguodala is their only option, and dude may not even be dressed for Game 7.
That's not an option. Wait. I'm tired of people selling that story. Not saying you serious. I'm just saying people in general, that they keep selling this mantra that Andre Iguodala is some defensive stopper.
Well, I'll say this.
Hold on. No. I'm going to help you. I want to help you out, because I'm here to put food on the table too. Last year in the NBA Finals, do you know LeBron was putting up 40-point triple-doubles on this dude that ended up winning the Finals MVP because of his so-called defense on LeBron? Because he wasn't coming up with no 25-point nights. It wasn't that. He wasn't daggering them. He was supposedly having a good defensive night against LeBron, and LeBron was giving him 40. This is the same dude that has a back issue, but he's still playing. Let me tell you something. I had a bad back in high school playing ball, too. You are not running around at no professional basketball level trying to deal with LeBron James with a bad back. Stop. That is not happening. He's getting his butt tore up. Look, here goes the icing on the cake. Do you know Kevin Durant's career high was against Andre Iguodala, 54 dump out? Like it's not like Andre is – who painted him this picture that he's some defensive stopper? I could put Kawhi in that conversation. I can't even put Klay in that conversation, because dude scorched Klay too. Then Klay, none of them. They got to play defense by committee. That's what the Warriors are forced to do. Even Draymond out of his element trying to deal with LeBron. Out of his element. Don't know what to do with him.
Well, see, this is what I was saying about that. You know what I'm saying? The Warriors really have nobody outside of Iguodala that has the balls enough to try to beat this dude. And I hear what just saying. You know what I'm saying? I mean, even with Iggy getting the MVP last year for what he allegedly did, you know, on LeBron James and this, that, and the third, you know, he stepped up. He made big shots. You know, he, you know, got the steal, got the defense, or whatever the case may be. That dude is hurt now. You know what I'm saying? So who else, you know, does the Warriors have that can man up to that? You're not going to play a zone. You know what I'm saying? You're not doing that. And by the way, shout out to Tyronn Lue for putting Dela Vadova's ass on the bench and bringing in Mo Williams. Did anybody notice that
mm-hmm.
other than me?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I was sitting there. I mean, I'm probably jumping ahead of myself, but I was like, wow. You know what? Another key move in yesterday's game for the Cavaliers. But you know, I don't know how this is gonna play out. You know, honestly, with you know Iggy being hurt and whatever the case may be. But I see your point. But to my credit, who else is big enough, man enough, and with the IQ enough to play LeBron? Draymond's not going to do it. Clay Showtime ain't going to do it. Steph is having problems dealing with Kyrie because he's making that dude like he a ballerina on toe shoes right now. I don't know how that's going to work out. So somebody tell me who's going to be LeBron. And until they figure out that matchup, or LeBron starts missing jump shots and getting to the rack and missing layups, I think we may have to crown a new champion come Sunday.
Worst part is, how do they not close off the lane? If I see LeBron coming, how are you guys letting him get to the lane, like in prance to get a layup? Ain't nobody on that team that can jump on him. Why? Huh?
Whatever options do they have? Again, we already have to
Precious,
the fact that Precious
got to step up. Precious got to step up, close that up. That's
yeah,
all they
okay.
got.
Okay.
That's all they got.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying that like that's a great option. That's all they got.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me that you're just gonna keep letting him come to the lane and getting layups and dunks? That was gonna happen.
Hell, Kyrie, Richard Jefferson is getting to the cup.
Everybody get to the cup. Listen, look. Ask Tommy. You can ask Tommy. I quote this. Before the Oklahoma City series started, do you know who the number 32nd ranked team is in paint defense? Number 32. That means the worst in the NBA. Do you know who it is? The Golden
I do,
State Warriors,
because you've already bring
Golden,
it up about 15 million times.
Right. The Golden State Warriors cannot play paint defense. And if you know that these dudes are weak in the paint and LeBron is the freight train, this is what we were given in high school. If you picked up a charge, you got a free pizza from the coach. If you picked up three or four, you had to split like four pies with somebody, unless you just got four pies and just wanted to be greedy like that. Like, this
My
is the option that they're
from the coach.
Coach bought everybody a lot. Whoever it was that picked up a charge, you got a large pie. More than likely, everybody split it. You know what I'm saying? But somebody got to close the lane up. Listen, how many times you see LeBron go to the lane, finish at the backboard, and it's like one dude jumping too late to try and block the shot? It's happened several different times in this series alone. Like I'm not saying Preston Azili is the best option. Somebody has to play that defense. Hell, I know they don't want to look to Maurice Spates to come in the paint, because Spates makes it even worse on the defensive end. All Spates want to do is shoot a jump shot. That's it. Okay, Tommy, your thoughts, and then I'm digging into these guards because I've been playing a little too long in this show right now. Tommy, your thoughts on Clay, at least at that point, because Sirius already digging all into these dishes.
I've already said Clay's done well, except that he gets happy behind the 3-point line. Mm-hmm. I mean. Just get into the guard play.
Okay, we do have a caller.
I just want to say one thing else real quick. The third foul that Kevin Love brought, that picked up, that's ridiculous. Because
oh
he never
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Touched Jamon Green. The only reason that official blew that whistle was because he missed the layup. But the NBA officiating in the corporate or whatever the hell it runs it want to come out and say they're tired of hearing about the criticism about the officiating. Well, when you make horrible calls like that, you don't get criticized.
Okay, we do have a caller on Skype. Skype, press 1, let me know that you want to get in here. If not, we're going to keep on rocking. I am going to get into this guard play, and then we're going to shut it down at the kitchen. I mean, Sirius is digging into these plates pretty heavy, and I've been trying to get him to calm down, but, you know, dudes be trying to get on their South Atkins diet. They don't want to come and eat, you know what I'm saying? So then they come and see the kitchen, and they see all types of good food. They want to eat everything that they see, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know where to start. I'm kind of like throwing the ball up like a jump ball. Steph or Kyrie? Now, Steph, of course, we all know is gifted, special, the best shooter that we've seen. You know, a lot of people try to throw old school players, things of that nature, into the conversation, right? And then you got Kyrie, who's probably one of the more better ball handlers in the game, which Steph is a great ball handler himself. I don't want to say that Kyrie got the edge on him, but the way that Kyrie's been handling the ball and catching dudes, you know, reaching and looking bad, it was one that he caught Draymond looking real bad. But Kyrie's been consistent the last couple of games, too, to, like, kind of be consistent next to LeBron's style of play. I don't know which way to go with this. I'll come to you first, Tommy. Your thoughts on this guard or the point guard play. Let me not even just say guard. The point guard between Steph and Kyrie, how special they've been up until this point.
It's about time that Kyrie shows what he can actually do. I mean, he might be one of the first players to come out of that school down there in North Carolina that's actually really done something like major that I can think of. I mean, he's balling. But his defense overall isn't too bad against Curry. He's here and there. You're wondering, wait a minute, what's he thinking? But, I mean, technically, if you ask me, I think Kyrie's outplaying Steph. Now, he's balling.
I couldn't even debate that, even though you have this last game where Steph outscored Kyrie, but Kyrie's put that pressure to him to help him get into foul trouble. The one thing that's actually been getting Steph caught up is whoever Steph is D-ing, they are setting him to screen with Kyrie or LeBron. So he has to defend one or the other. He can no longer hide. He can no longer hide. And I give Tyronn Lue a ton of credit to expose your quote-unquote league MVP. I'm going to do that right there. Kyrie Irving, if he stays consistent, everybody better get their damn popcorn ready for this game 7. Now, I'm going to save the picks for the brunch. I want everybody to save their thoughts, views, and opinions for game 7. I don't want people to jump off the deep end already here on a Friday night. But we do need to close up the show here at the roundtable. Excellent stuff. Power pack show. Give people stuff to look forward to here in the kitchen coming up. Sunday is going to be a beautiful Father's Day. Of course, I'm coming to you, Tommy. I need a plug, closeout, shout out. Anything that you like to promote here at the roundtable.
Good show. Thanks for coming in, Mr. Simmons. Hopefully everybody can make it on Sunday. When you get off, get out of here. I got a movie to go catch with the wife. Want to see the new Rock Kevin Hart movie. Hopefully it's good. They built it up. I don't answer the phone tomorrow, I'm watching the College World Series. Starts off, let's go Canes, beat them Wildcats.
You need to call me later on tonight to let me know how Central Intelligence goes down. I need to know about that because I'm on the run myself. Serious dropped out. Excellent stuff here at the round table. What better, man? Game 7, people thought it was over. People come to the kitchen. People do what they gonna do. Sports City, y'all know what's up, man. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, fully focused here at the Sunday Brunch. I can't set this up no better. We are back in front of a Game 7. Last time we seen a Game 7 was the Lakers taking care of business up against those Boston Celtics. 2009, that was 7 years ago, people. Like that. That's how much time done went by. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Out there for their purchase. You surely appreciate it. What you're about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Walk with a nigga, man.
Vibe with me. Yo, gather round, hustlers, that's if you're still living. And get on down to that old jig rhythm. Just a couple of jewels to help you get through your bit in prison. A ribbon in the sky, keep your head high. Ah, Young Vito, voice of the young people. Mouthpiece for hustlers, I'm back, motherfuckers.